This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We are back for episode 2 under the new Dimitri Young era. That's right. It's Dennis Farrell and the Grand Marshal himself. That's right. All year long, that's all I'm going to call you, is the Grand Marshal Dimitri Young.
I could accept that. I just can't accept Grand Wizard.
Wow, that's a whole different show that you and I do that we don't promote. It's the Dimitri Young, Dennis Farrell, Whose Fault Is It podcast. So, woo, boy, some white guilt coming back now. I'm sorry. First and foremost, I got to congratulate you. If you haven't saw the news, Dimitri Young, Pokey Reese, Grand Marshal, Cincinnati Reds opening day. Super excited for you. But the question for me is, I feel like I know you more as a Detroit Tiger. Do you feel more of a Cincinnati Red?
Well, that's basically the only organization out of four I play for that I do anything with. So yeah, I consider myself a Red.
Okay. Can I be your plus one? Silence is golden. You should have been like, you're breaking up, Dennis. I can't hear you.
Yeah, I did go deaf when you said something just then.
No. I get it. It's the same thing most of my dates do when I ask them for questions. But congratulations. I'm super excited for you. This is a proud moment for me as your friend, or hopefully your friend still. Now that you're going places, you know, you may forget about me. You may pull a Jason Kendall and poof, gone.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. Not like how Jason did. Jason is banished from everybody.
Oh, I mean, he's on the milk cartons right now. I don't know. I could probably call him and be like, this number's been disconnected. He's witness relocation program somewhere.
Did you say milk carton or milf carton?
Milk. He's not on a milf carton.
Okay.
Well, we have a jam-packed show. We're going to talk about the past week and just kind of some wrestling stuff, because it's been a long time since Dimitri and myself have gotten together. We do have a bunch of guests coming up that are already confirmed. Should we tell them, or should we keep it a secret as we go? All right. That's on Dimitri, not me, by the way. So all the hate mail at wrestlingperspectivepodcast@gmail.com. goes to Dimitri.
Hate.
That's all right. So let's get the sad stuff out of the way first. And we're talking about with the passing of Virgil, who was very instrumental in my wrestling love as a kid. I think his contribution to what I watched in wrestling, vastly underrated. Virgil made the Million Dollar Man who he was. If you really think about that character and the progression from, you know, sidekick or slave, to fighting and his independence, and then, you know, breaking free and the crowd loving him. This guy doesn't get the respect in wrestling I think he deserved while alive.
Oh, no, not one bit, you know, especially when you had other black wrestlers that portrayed something positive. And I'm not saying what Virgil did wasn't, but, you know, had that, like you said, that subservient role, you know, second place man to Ted DiBiase. And I don't think the name really helped, especially because he got his real name's cool as hell, you know, Mike Jones. But he was very instrumental because, one, he went out there and he did the job, and he did it so good where, you know, you got to look at, you know, what it is at that particular time, and he played that role well. I mean, is that a role in today's standard that would fly? Hell no. But for what he did back then, and being able to maintain, I know he didn't get a lot of respect. They showed, you know, when he's at an autograph signing and there's nobody there and stuff, you know, the lack of respect in that nature. But now that he's passed, you're going to hear a lot of great things about the man and what he was backstage. You know, that's the most important thing, was how he was with his peers. And been nothing but positive stuff that I've heard from all the people that he's been around. Look at the stuff that Bret Hart was posting up. And Bret Hart is very critical on wrestling and who can wrestle, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, and he had nothing but great things to say about Virgil. So if that says anything about that man's character, you know, we should applaud the man for his job.
And you brought up something that I might have was going to touch on, but I'm glad you brought it up, was his after wrestling, where he almost became a punchline at conventions, where you hear stories about him. And unfortunately, you know, he became a joke towards the end of his life. But here's a guy that embraced it, that started out as a joke, but like turned it into a positive thing for himself. And not many guys can go from being a meme to still being relevant, showing up on AEW, being part of the NWO. I mean, this guy's longevity, it just doesn't get talked about. And God almighty, while you were coaching high school baseball, Lars and I had an opportunity to interview him a couple times, and it kept falling through because he was sick. But that's, there were two guys. He's one of them that I really regret and I missed out on was Virgil. And the other one was Roddy Piper, when Roddy had his own podcast, and Steve Simone was his co-host, who's a comedian, one of my favorites. And Steve reached out. This was when I was doing fantasy football for ESPN. And he's like, "Hey, Roddy wants to learn about fantasy football. Would you come on the podcast?" I'm like, "Yes." And I think it was like 6 months later, he passed away. And it was just like, are you kidding me? That would have been top two moments of my life.
You know, I got to meet Roddy Piper. I was doing a podcast back. This was well before COVID. This was before he passed away, obviously.
And you and Vic?
Yep, FYI. And got to talk to him for quite a bit, because I was geeking out, you know, Hot Rod. And dude, he is just so intelligent, and he knows what he's talking about. You know, people see these wrestlers and probably think that, you know, oh, there's no time, all they do is fake. And it's like, man, there's a lot more that goes into it. And listening to Roddy Piper talk about his family and talk about how much his love for wrestling was just second to none. And I mean, I have a picture of him. I got to dig it up and stuff. But, you know, I got to take a photo with the Hot Rod.
Was Robert Fick a wrestling fan?
No.
I didn't think so. I mean, forever known as the guy that ruined the All-Star game. I mean, I love you, Rob. We're Facebook friends, but you ruined the All-Star game.
Hold on. That's one of my closest friends right there. How are we going to talk? He didn't ruin anything.
Wasn't he the tying run?
You can't blame the player. You got to blame Bud Selig for that junk.
I don't know. You know what? We'll put a pin in that one. We'll come back to that one a little bit later. I do want to touch on Ole Anderson's death too, where Ole was just a bit outside of my wrestling taste. You know, I was kind of at the end of his Four Horsemen, Black Scorpion for sure, and broke my heart when I found out he was the voice of the Black Scorpion when I got older. I know I get made fun of a lot for this, but still one of my all-time favorite angles. I don't care how bad. Here's what I say, wrestling. When you're a kid, you don't know what good wrestling and bad wrestling is. And for that, I don't know what bad wrestling was when I was a kid. I think 2000s WCW is when I started going, ooh, this is bad wrestling. But that Scorpion angle, I still absolutely wouldn't even go back and watch it. But Ole Anderson passed in a way. It did not hit me as hard as Virgil. What about you?
No, it did. I mean, I knew he was one of the Four Horsemen, and I knew he did a lot of stuff backstage as far as being a booker and things of that nature. And of course, he's famously known for telling Mean Mark Callis that he wouldn't draw at all. And so they released him. He got his release. And then, Thanksgiving 1990? No, not that dog Goobly Gooker or whatever that damn turkey was, but the birth of the Undertaker. Whatever. I don't give a damn about that thing. But the birth of the Undertaker with Brother Love.
I love it. So both of us not really Ole Anderson fans. He had a bad reputation for being kind of a stickler or a prick, depending on, you know, what kind of word you want to use about Ole. But you know, sad to see him go. Another legend we grew up watching. Those guys are starting to fade away pretty quick. I don't know if I have a favorite Ole Anderson moment, maybe outside of, you know, in retrospect.
Getting kicked out of the Four Horsemen?
That might have been it. I did want to ask you, favorite Virgil moment?
Oh, my God. I wanted to say when he won the $1 million belt from Ted DiBiase because, I mean, that was a tremendous program watching Virgil beat Ted DiBiase. I mean, the cards were stacked against him. I mean, it was just like he had to really work. But all those vignettes and stuff where Virgil was counting the money and the black kid dribbling the basketball or the kid doing push-up, wasn't that Rob Van Dam?
I think Rob was a basketball, and I don't remember.
No, the black kid was the basketball, but someone had to do push-ups.
Okay. I know Rob Van Dam was one of them.
He definitely was one of them. But I just loved it. Every time, because Virgil was always dressed up in that silver and that fuchsia, whatever that color was.
His chest popped out just a little bit.
Yeah, and he had the sleeveless joints on with the big muscles sticking out. I mean, he was pretty intimidating. I could not stand that name. And of course, find out that it's a rib one for Dusty Rhodes. And then when he went to WCW and he was Vincent.
It's a shame that, you know, it's a shame that we didn't appreciate him more during his runs in WCW, WWF, and even on the indie circuit. I'm sure now there's a lot of wrestling fanboys that are probably kicking themselves when they walk by the table and he's sitting there sad, alone, Virgil. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But I feel like that helped build, I guess, his legend. Because, you know, once again, one of those guys that took that embarrassment and built on it. So I'm glad that hopefully we'll remember him in a better light going forward.
Well, I think with all the wrestlers in the past that been around him and appreciate who he was as a person, what he brought to the table. I mean, his job wasn't easy to do. I mean, there could be a little bit of shame in it. It could be a little bit of, you know, just embarrassed. He wasn't embarrassed. He embraced the roles that he did. And I mean, he did it well.
Let's before we jump into the Paul Heyman being inducted in WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Hold on. You know, we got to do the t-shirts.
T-shirt of the day. All right.
You remember that?
Wow. I'm looking like an old man into my television screen, but yes. Wow. Where'd you get that one at?
I found it in a closet.
A random closet or one in your home?
One in my home. Okay. This is one of the t-shirts, the paparazzi.
I wasn't asking you where in your house did you find it. I was asking where did you buy it?
This is an old TNA shirt from like way, way back.
All right. All right. Now can I continue?
Can we explain what this is for the new wrestling fans that don't have a clue? All right, this was paparazzi broadcasting, and who was it? It was Kevin Nash, Alex Shelley. Was it Chris Sabin too?
I don't remember. I can text Sabin and ask him. Name dropping.
And Austin Starr.
Wow, I even forgot about that.
Part of it. Yeah, that's Austin Aries, people.
All right. All right. So shirt of the day done. Remember, people, email wrestlingperspectivepodcast@gmail.com. Whether you're an indie wrestler or pro wrestling tee, send this guy a shirt. He'll wear it on the show. It could be seen by tens of people.
For the dozen.
Upwards into a baker's dozen will be seen by.
Man. Hey, comments like that make you sound like a fat ass.
Well played. Before we jump into Paul Heyman, Lex Luger says he's hopeful someday he'll be inducted in WWE Hall of Fame. I want to ask you, is he WWE Hall of Fame worthy?
Well, considering there are a lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame that did less body of work than he did, I would say yes. Now, if we're talking about the whole body of work since WWE bought up all WCW and stuff, and Lex Luger was quite the man, two-time heavyweight champion, numerous times U.S. champ, tag team, television, you name it. He made more of a name outside of the WWE, and he's also been working, you know, within the WWE for some years with counseling and stuff. And so, you know, when you look back at the body of work, I would say he is a bona fide Hall of Famer. His WWE run wasn't exactly, you know, the Narcissist and then the Lex Express, and they hoisting him up on their shoulders when he won by disqualification against Yokozuna. You know, that, I mean, it's like, why'd they do that? That's just like, I didn't win the belt. Put my butt down.
Right. I had time to think about this, and I was a WCW guy. And I think I get why he wasn't in, you know, the drugs, the Miss Elizabeth stuff, you know, there's a lot of bad publicity that comes with his name. I don't know if he's done enough to even the slate or wipe the slate clean for him. And I hope he has. I think he's a guy that deserves to be in based on what he's done in wrestling. Very few people have shown up on the same show in the same night.
Yep, Rick Rude, the other one.
Think about that. Integral part in the NWO versus WCW. I really feel like Lex Luger, although not the strongest mic man in all of wrestling, wasn't the worst. You're talking about an era where a lot of garbage, people got away with a lot of garbage on the mic. And also, at the end of that era where the mic work became amazing, the Attitude Era and stuff like that, I think a lot of people look back on him and listen to the people that know what they're talking about and like, he was a bad wrestler, he sucked, blah, 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 when the only test that matters is the fan test. And I think he passed that fan test where I think as us fans, not once again, I don't know about you, but when you watch wrestling, sometimes now I can go, that's not great. But you know what? I can appreciate what they do. I loved what Lex Luger did.
Oh, I was a big fan of Lex Luger, especially when he first came in and he was recruited by the Four Horsemen. Then he was like part of the Four Horsemen. Then he was a member of the Four Horsemen. And then Barry Windham came around and kicked him to the curb. And then that was, to me, the best four horsemen that they had right there with Ric Flair and Barry Windham and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard with James J. Dillon as their manager. I thought that was the most powerful one. But the second one to me was the one with Lex Luger after they kicked out Ole Anderson.
Ooh, wait a second. You like that more than, what was it, Flair, Anderson, Mongo, and Benoit?
Hey, you said Mongo. And, you know, Parrish Forum and stuff, but no.
Really? So for me, that might be my second favorite incarnation of the Horsemen.
No.
All right. And Paul Heyman.
But you know what? Before we get to Paul Heyman, because there's a lot to say about that guy. That guy's been around forever. But I also like the one with, don't crucify me, people, the one with Chris Benoit, Brian Pillman, Dean Malenko, and Ric Flair with Arn Anderson manager.
If you tell me you like Paul Romo as a horseman, I will kick you off the show and beg Lars to come back.
You're the one that brought up Paul Romo.
I'm just saying, if you say that he's one of your favorite horsemen, we got to break up.
Oh, wait a minute. You liked them with the Young Stallions, didn't you?
I did. I'm not even going to lie.
All right, let's go. Let's talk about something great.
All right. Paul Heyman being announced for the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Number one. Yes. Who should induct him?
Wow, there are so many people. I mean, we could start back when he was Paulie Dangerously in AWA when he had the Real Midnight Express, or when he came over to WCW and he had the Dangerous Alliance, which was very, very underrated. You know, Larry Zbysko, Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson, Ravishing Rick Rude, Medusa, and then one of the best television champions. He was a Hollywood blonde. Then he became the ringmaster. And then he started whooping ass. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So you think Austin should induct him?
Yep.
This is a tough one for me because I'd like to see one of his ECW original guys. And unfortunately, it seems like they're all under contract somewhere. Maybe a Bully Ray who's not under contract. Tommy Dreamer, maybe. Those might be my top couple. I don't know. You're not going to get Brock Lesnar to do it. I mean, for me, maybe Brock Lesnar, if he could deliver a good speech. And maybe if he wasn't in a little bit of trouble, Brock Lesnar would have been my guess. But Brock,
allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. But I don't know. I feel like it has to be an ECW original. Maybe Medusa.
Maybe one of the Samoans, since he managed a whole bunch of them.
There you go. I don't know, but it's Philadelphia. I think it's his time to go in.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be someone from ECW, but who can speak? Besides Bubba Ray and Tommy.
Yep, Bubba and Tommy. But once again, I think Tommy's under contract with TNA, so I can't imagine him doing it.
Why not? You remember Jordan Grace this year at Royal Rumble? Hey, a favor for a favor, reciprocation here.
Maybe. I don't know. You know what? I want to know, hopefully in our next show before we have an interview, maybe we'll bring this up again if the fans are out there and they want to chime in on who they think should be Paul Heyman's inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. I'd like to know because I'm kind of clueless.
The Undertaker? No.
No, I don't see that one.
Kurt Angle? CM Punk?
Punk, maybe. I'd be okay with CM Punk. Punk was kind of a Heyman guy. I think Punk might be maybe even the more logical choice. That's a good one. And let's hit on Sting. His last match was Sunday. That's what prolonged our show. We were going to do it Sunday night, but we decided to wait until Revolution was over. We're not doing a Revolution recap tonight. Normally, we would probably pick a pay-per-view or something, sit down, recap it. But I think we should talk a little bit about Sting tonight and what he meant to wrestling. And unfortunately, as much as I want to go gaga goo goo over this and pour my heart out and tell you how much I love Sting, which I did, by the way, and how important he was, it's wrestling. Is it really someone's last match? How many Ric Flair last matches have we seen in wrestling? I don't know if I can be emotionally invested into this last match knowing it's a wrestling industry.
I have to disagree. Sting's always been a man of his word. And that performance right there, you know, I was listening to one of the people's reaction show last night. And the whole spot when Darby Allin went through the glass, I saw the dude's reaction. And I was like, oh, God, did you just hear Sting kicking out of all these different, you know, the V trigger, the EV trigger, and he's kicking out at one, and I'm just imagining Sting going like this, beating on his chest, and ow! And how cool was his sons? One is Surfer Sting, and one with NWO Sting.
That was pretty cool.
And then you just see their build. It's like, dude, why ain't y'all getting the wrestling? Jesus, man, y'all would be like some badasses.
Curtis Axel. That's why. Well, continue.
Oh, and I listened to the speech afterwards. You know, thanking Ric Flair, the people that came out, Lex Luger, Ricky Steamboat, DP. You know, it was too bad that Kevin Nash couldn't be there, and some of the other people that was really in the, you know, part of Sting's development, and you know his people. You know, and so Sting going out, and I had a pleasure to meet him when I was in when I was still playing when he was in TNA where they was doing it at Universal Studios.
Well, tell that story.
Oh, I'm about to. You know, and you know, I knew a lot of the guys. Sting happened to be there. I was like, dude, I never met Sting, and I was with Mick Foley, and he went over there and introduced me to Sting, and it was a brief 5-minute conversation. I was dumb and stupid, but I was a big fan of NW. You know, I was just bumbling. I was a bumbling idiot, but that guy is what you would call a true professional, and for him to wrestle all the way to last night and started. I remember watching him for the first time in UWF, part of Hot Stuff Incorporated with Eddie Gilbert. And it was like Rick Steiner, Sting, and then Sting broke off from them and became a good guy. And that was when they merged with NWA. And then next thing you know, that whole Clash of the Champions, you know, against Ric Flair, that 45-minute draw. And that was the same day that one of the WrestleManias was on. And one was pay-per-view, one was free. I had the pay-per-view, but I was watching the free one. And that was one hell of a – that was storytelling at its best right there. And then watching Sting progress over the years, going from the surfer look to being up in the Raptors and not wrestling for like, what was it, about 6 months, a year or something like that?
Yeah.
And for all we know, he could have been injured, but he portrayed that whole Crow persona. And I thought he was just absolutely money. Imagine what life would have been like had Hulk Hogan turned down being head of NWO.
Do you think it still would have been as big as it was if Sting would have turned heel?
I don't know. I think Sting's role was exactly where it was supposed to be. I think Hulk Hogan was the one that needed more of the facelift than Sting. So I think everything worked out perfect. And then that whole thing with Sting not going to WWE and going to TNA instead and you know, basically building that up as well.
You know, going back and thinking of my memories of Sting, because I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. Growing up, I was a WCW NWA guy. I didn't watch any of the Attitude Era. I think I really started kind of clicking back and forth when Jericho popped over to WWF. And then I kind of would, you know, would in and out because I was a Jericho guy back at that time. But I love Sting. I grew up watching Sting. Once again, Black Scorpion. Some of my favorite Sting memories was when Ric Flair hook, line, and sinkered him in and then turned on him every single time. And it happened over and over and over again. But that's what made me love Sting. Sting wanted Ric Flair to be his guy so bad. And Ric Flair just knew how to sucker him in. That brief time when Sting was in the Four Horsemen, then Sting breaks his leg. I mean, there are just so many amazing Sting moments from back in the Surfer years that just get looked over because of an amazing NWO, WCW Crow run. But I mean, that Surfer Sting run is legendary.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And you know who remind me of Sting? And I don't even know if people even looked into it. I mean, you look at like Surfer Sting's body, how he was all yoked and stuff, and his move sets remind me of John Cena.
Should we get a DNA test?
Well, look at Sting's son. I mean, and you look at John Cena. I mean, they're all jacked and have the same move sets and, you know, their bodies. Yeah, might as well.
Hell, let's do it. Alexander Hammerstone officially signs with TNA, which I love this move. Now, TNA's got a bad rap since they cut ties with Scott D'Amore. And I love Scott D'Amore. I know him personally. He's a great guy. I wouldn't say he's inviting me over for dinner, but he knows my name. And it broke my heart to see him go. And I really thought, and before you came back, the last few podcasts we did with Lars, I really kind of bagged on TNA for this move. But boy, the last two signings, Nesmith and Hammerstone, have really made me forget that they canned D'Amore. I really like what they're starting to do with this product. I wish D'Amore was part of it. He's not. But man, they're making some right moves right now.
Well, it makes you wonder who's doing the running there, who's running the ship. You know, it might be some figurehead that took over, but it's going to be a Tommy Dreamer. It's going to be some wrestlers who want other wrestlers, especially some Supreme wrestling. I love Alexander Hammerstone. I watched him part of the Dynasty with Richard Holiday and, you know, the devil himself, MJF. When they were in MLW, and dude, he was just like a beast. And I was like, you know what? The real star is that dude right there. So it's good to see him step up into, you know, I consider TNA big leagues. You know, you have a television deal, you have the wrestlers, both male and female. So you have that rich history, and he can be there for a couple of years, or he can wind up signing like Moose, or he'll make that jump to AEW or WWE because he's that kind of guy.
You know, I think he's I think he's 40 right now, so I don't know if I could see him making a jump.
He's like that old?
Yeah.
No way. Well, probably more AEW than WWE then, if that's the case.
But he could be. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, but he can be LA Knight, Eli Drake.
Absolutely. And we'll say, I could see him holding a championship there. That's a company that's not an age-dependent company. Like WWE is very youth movement-oriented, always moving forward. It seems like when you get a certain age, unless you're the top guy, you kind of get filtered out. TNA, NWA, MLW, those kind of organizations, I think those organizations know how to take an older guy like a Hammerstone and utilize him. And they're really going, I think as much as TNA can help Hammerstone, Hammerstone can help TNA.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%. you know, that match that he had against Josh Alexander was showed that Hammerstone can wrestle, and he can wrestle different styles as well. He doesn't have to just be Mr. Power, which he is. So I like to see him and Moose, you know.
Oh, two of the biggest guys in the organization. Absolutely. And kind of to wrap up the evening, let's talk a little bit about John Cena. You know, there's reports out there that he may or may not show up for WrestleMania 40, depending on his acting schedule, depending on where you read. I don't know. I'm a John Cena guy. I absolutely love John Cena. I loved every incarnation of John Cena. I'm not one of those guys that hated him because he could only do five moves. I appreciate everything in wrestling. It, you know, I bag on it. There are things I like and I don't like. But John Cena is one of those guys, I think, always reinvented himself and found ways to make what he was doing get over. And without The Undertaker showing up at WrestleManias anymore to be that guy, I think WrestleMania still needs that. I don't see Stone Cold Steve Austin being that guy that shows up every year for one match and that's it. But John Cena can be that guy, and I really want to see John Cena fill that role for the next couple of years.
Well, you know, he doesn't have to physically get in the ring or anything. And the way that he is plastered all over Hollywood and being part of that, he might be there as a host, perhaps. That would kind of be cool because he has hosted some shows before. So maybe he can do that, or it'll be something along the lines of Rock bringing in the whole Hollywood gang, and John Cena will be part of, maybe Batista creep out of nowhere. But I mean, there's many, many options that John Cena could do to put a positive spin on everything negative that's being said about WWE right now. So who knows?
Now, as we wrap this up, we haven't talked about this, and I do want to bring it up for a second because we're inching into WrestleMania season, which we're kind of already there. Are you happy with what they're doing with The Rock?
Yeah, I am. You know, because they'll do something like The Rock versus Roman Reigns, and it was an uproar. You know, knowing that they have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and it's going to be based on fan reaction. And so with Cody Rhodes now being in the match with Roman Reigns, now the speculation is The Rock is going to turn on Roman Reigns. And so we got that all up and buzz, and, you know, he's wearing all the fancy shirts and being heel Hollywood Rock, which I do like that persona because, one, he can pull it off. And that 21-minute promo that he had on Cody Rhodes and the guy from Busted Open and Seth Rollins was absolutely money. Who can do that, though? Think about who can do that. And so I like what The Rock is doing because we're getting mainstream people. We're getting eyeballs looking at that. And The Rock is damn good, too.
I will say this. I'm not upset. I'm sorry. I'm getting over a cold. I wasn't one of those guys that was upset with Rock Roman. I really want to see that. I like Cody Rhodes, and I want to see Cody Rhodes finish his story. I want to see Cody Rhodes earn it. I want to see Cody Rhodes, you know, have to work for it, get close, get it taken away, get close again, and oh so close, and build it up almost Daniel Bryan-esque with the yes, 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 and having to go through what was it, two or three matches at WrestleMania to get to.
Oh, yeah.
I want something like that for Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, it seems like if he jumped in and he finished his story at WrestleMania 40, what do? Where do you go from there? There's a letdown. There's nobody next in line. The rematch might be flat. I want to see, you know, Cody get screwed by The Rock, get screwed out of this position.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see night one tag team match, Cody and Rollins versus Rock and Roman Reigns. I don't want to see that tag team match. And then what do you do for night two? Does Rollins wrestle again? Who's he wrestle? I don't want to see that. I want to see, you know, Cody and Rollins and I want to see Rock and Roman. Because don't forget, Rollins has never beaten Cody Rhodes. Rollins, nope. I feel like that match, if you give them a chance to tell that story, there's a story on either side where, you know, the champ hasn't beaten the challenger yet. You know, three chances, he's lost. People don't remember, you know, people are forgetting that aspect of this. You can really build something great here with these two nights and then let Cody finish his story. Champion versus champion. What better way to finish your story than a champ? Oh, remember how big like Hogan and Warrior was, Intercontinental Champion versus WWF Champion? It was mega. Everything stopped for a champion versus champion match. There's a million ways to make this Cody story great. I just feel like everybody jumps the gun so much that they don't let a good story be unfolding in front of your eyes.
You know what? And the bigger story is Roman Reigns breaking Hulk Hogan's record. That's personally what I'm feeling. I would like to see that broken. They shattered the tag team one, you know, both New Day and the Usos. The Intercontinental, I mean, that's still going with Gunther. And so Roman Reigns is close. He's around like the SummerSlam area where he'll be breaking Hulk Hogan's record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I personally think that that's what they're going to do. So they're going to prolong Cody's story, much to what you're talking about with you know, make him earn it, make him go, oops, you know, more so than.
Did we lose you? Oh, I think we lost Dimitri Young. Internet problems, everybody. As he was wrapping up the story, I am going to keep talking and maybe he bounces back. Doesn't look like he is. All right, listen. I have a tickle in my throat. I don't feel good. We're going to cut the show a little bit off a little early. But I will tell you guys what. Thank you so much for watching again. We've had a lot of people popping in and out of the streams live. The next few weeks, we will have guests. So I'm really excited about that. Listen, Dimitri didn't want me to say anything. I'll do a little teaser. Some NWA talent coming on. So I'm really excited about that. Remember, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, like, leave a comment. It really helps us grow the show grow. And we're really appreciative of that. And here he is. He's back again. I was just this close to wrapping up until you came back. So please, you were talking about Cody and finishing his story.
Well, I was talking more along the lines of Roman finishing his story and surpassing Hulk Hogan for the 1400 days and being second only to Bruno Sammartino, which that's one of those Cy Young records where, yeah, that's the original era. The modern era is, you know, and Roman Reigns has been phenomenal as a heel champion, acknowledge me and the head of the table stuff. And yeah, I think the story's still going to go on. But The Rock is going to help Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. It's going to be an absolute uproar. People are going to be pissed leaving. I'm not going to be if Roman wins. I'm going to be like, yes. Because now, where are they going to go with this? Because now there's more of a story to tell as opposed to Cody Rhodes winning in a possible rematch, maybe Wrestle The Rock or whatever. I like the chase, and the chase is a lot better than grasping the championship and ending the story.
I 100% agree, and I'm hoping Cody doesn't finish his story at WrestleMania. Who says the story has to be finished at WrestleMania? I don't know why everybody's so fixated on this either.
I guess WrestleMania is supposed to be a be-all, end-all.
It's not, though.
No, not at all.
There's so many other major pay-per-views. I don't want to see him finish his story at elimination chamber, or was it roadblocks or whatever rules, or you know, Great American Bash or whatever that stuff is. I don't want to see that. Give me SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and maybe next WrestleMania if you can hold off and make that story that interesting then. But you know, WWE has what, 4 major pay-per-views? Make it one of those.
Yeah, I agree. And SummerSlam would be, to me, that'll be the place where you hold it. It's the middle of the summer, everybody hot. And SummerSlam, what do they call it? The biggest party of the summer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Right there.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about your other endeavors that you're doing before we wrap it up and we promote.
All right. Well, of course, I'm the grand. I'm the grand marshal along with Pokey Reese for opening day for the Cincinnati Reds, and that'll be on the 28th of this month. And I'll be going to coach in Aruba in October with Interplay Sports. And that is a part of with the Ford family. And Ford family used to be the owners of Perfect Game since its inception back in the early 90s. And they're still in the game. We do Rise to Greatness, which is their nonprofit where we go into underserved communities and, you know, we get into the community and we're at the baseball field and we have the kids learn from us. And it's not just a, hey, we're here, hi, we're bye. You know, we're going to these places. It's going to be a circuit where we'll go to these places 2-3 times a year and we'll see more and more kids and giving them more opportunities to do what they do. And then with the Interplay Sports, that's the other side where they go travel. And they have teams that'll go travel, which the next time we get on, I'll have all that information for anybody who has any ambitions for their kids at 19U, 16U, 14U, 12U, 10U to go play. And they're doing it more along the lines of a vacation for the family. And just so happened, we're going to play baseball. And Andrew Jones is one of the coaches for one of the teams. I'm another one, and there are going to be more names as time goes on. And I'm doing the 16U. And we interact with the families and hang out with them. We'll go on excursions, maybe fishing. I would love to go do that. Maybe some zip lining in the jungle. Who knows? But it's going to be for a week. And anybody that wants to do it, anybody listening that wants to do it, I'll have more information for the next time we do this.
Hey, don't get hurt. I'm running out of famous people to do podcasts with me.
I don't know any famous people.
But that's why I said, don't get hurt. You're pretty much, you know, I can't find Jason Kendall.
Hey, I'm more infamous than famous.
Oh, no, you're not. You are my favorite. You know what? You're my tiger. How about that? No. I'm not a Tigers guy, right? So I'm not kissing your Tigers butt here. I'm actually was born in Boston, so I'm a Red Sox fan. And I lived in St. Louis, Atlanta. So I kind of bounced between the Braves, although I liked the Braves when they were shitty before the season. Give me those Dale Murphy Braves, you know. Glenn Hubbard, those kind of that Brave stuff. And I'm a Cardinals guy, but I'm like 84, 85 Cardinals, you know, Willie McGee, Vince Coleman, Tommy Herr. So I kind of have my eras of teams I like. But when I moved here to Detroit, you were with the Tigers. So you're my favorite Tiger now.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Too bad it took 4 years for me to be your favorite.
It did. And a lot of money. Thank you for sending those checks.
You're welcome.
So, but yes, listen, guys, Wrestling Perspective, you're watching it on Fightful. We're live on our feeds when we do non-guests. When we do guests, it goes to Fightful first and then to our feed. So If you're watching this on Fightful, go to Wrestling Perspective on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you do your social medias, and make sure you're around for our live shows, because, you know, we'll talk comments and stuff like that as people pop in and out of chat rooms. We had a pretty full chat room tonight. Thank you, everybody. I just didn't really want to get too much into the chatty stuff, because I really wanted to kind of focus on Sting, Virgil, and stuff like that. And there were some great comments out there. But going forward, you know, we'll pop your comments up. We'll talk about them. You can have, you know, brush with greatness, Dimitri Young, not me. We really come on. You're the Grand Marshal, Reds. But listen, subscribe, rate, leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. We're everywhere you get them. Once again, if you're watching on Wrestling Perspective, go over to Fightful like them. If you're over on Fightful, come over and watch us. Let's be one big happy family. Dimitri Young, Dennis Farrell. Next couple weeks, we'll have guests. We can't wait. We'll announce them as we record them, just to surprise you, spice it up a little bit. But Dimitri, before I let you go, what are you most looking forward to this coming week in wrestling?
Ooh. Well, on AEW, I definitely want to know about the whole Hangman Page hurry up and tapping out to Samoa Joe. The question is, did he do that on purpose so Swerve Strickland would not become the world heavyweight champion?
I can't wait for that. Let's see here. Monday Night Raw. We're recording during Monday Night Raw, so I can't wait to go back and watch that. I'm excited about AEW to watch that. Once again, Strickland, a friend of the show, we're excited about where he's going. I can't wait to see how that storyline progresses. Little TNA. I tell you what, last couple of weeks, TNA is slowly starting to capture my attention back again. So I'm really excited to see how some of those storylines progress this week.
Hey, TNA, I'm buying the biggest package. I already have it. I already had the biggest package, the $219.99, you know, for the year for TNA online. I got that. I get to watch all the pay-per-views. I get all of that. So I am a huge supporter of TNA. Oh, let's not forget NXT on Tuesday. I love NXT.
I will make sure Tommy Dreamer hears that.
He doesn't like, you're talking about the 219?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I love TNA. I'm not going to get the cheap one. I want all the stuff. I can look back at some of the history of TNA, you know, when they were doing it once a month. And then when I got to go down there at the end of my playing career. And then, of course, nobody likes the Hulk Hogan era.
Not even some of those wrestlers.
Not at all.
All right, guys, we're gonna wrap this up, call it a night. I got some medicine to take. Dimitri, you got wrestling to watch.
Oh, I got a whole lot to watch, and since I'm on the West Coast, I get to wait till 8 to watch Raw, and then tomorrow I have NXT.
All right, for everybody at home, the show's over. Dimitri, stick around. We'll say our goodbyes off the air. Wrestling Perspective, thank you guys for another fun show. We will talk to you guys later. Have a good night.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.